to your heart's content at Taylor's Steakhouse in Hastings. Half-price gift certificates there. Easy auction. Plenty to buy, plenty to save. Over $50,000 in merchandise marked down to half price and less. Log on to ESPNSuperstation.com and click on Easy Auction. Game day used to mean day of the game.
This is one of the great scenes.
And it just had a whole new meaning when Corso, Herb Street, and Fowler rode into town.
There's a lot of good football teams in the country, but I'm telling you, the best football slate in the country.
Used to be, you had to be in front of the tube to be part of it.
It was the way they were attacking, multiple formations, personnel groupings, USC.
Now you can hear Game Day, 9 to 11, Saturday mornings, on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550. The inside story.
I don't know the answer to the question of what the reason is.
The fine line.
Hey, it wasn't as bad as I thought.
The bottom line. KXPN Connie, KICS Hastings.
I'm Dan Davis. Ryder Cup captain's picks are always criticized, and Corey Pavin's selection of non-winner Ricky Fowler to the U.S. team today is no exception, but Fowler figures he'll fit in well.
It's going to be a lot of fun, and like Tiger was saying, we're going over there for one reason, and Corey picked the four of us and the eight that are already on the team for us to blend and go over there and work well together and, like I said, to bring back the trophy.
Ricky Fowler also selected the U.S. roster. Tiger Woods, Stuart Sink, and Zach Johnson. U.S. side faces Europe October 1st through 3rd at Celtic Manor in Wales. Veteran NFL wide receiver T.J. Houshmandzadeh, dumped by Seattle and signed by the Ravens, is hard at work with Baltimore coaches and teammates, trying to learn the plays in time to be a factor in the Monday night opener against the New York Jets. U.S. Open Tennis Live and ESPN 2 HD, men's fourth round, the 12 seed Mikhail Yuzny against Tommy Robredo. And right now, Yuzny's on top, serving for the first set at 6-5. Coming up after that one, a little later, Sam Querrey of the U.S. takes on Stanislas Wawrinka.
SportsCenter on ESPN Radio is brought to you by Miller High Life. You're obviously living the high life because you're listening to The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Miller High Life, a good honest beer at a tasty price. Miller High Life, it's common sense in a bottle.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Reduce email storage and get compliant.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Message Archiver is an integrated hardware and software solution that indexes and preserves all email communication and attachments. With no per-user fees and a quick setup, the Barracuda Message Archiver is the best solution for reducing the cost of email storage while ensuring government and litigation compliance. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
When men get together, they relax over a cocktail and discuss the latest news from sports to pop culture. Now ESPN and Jim Beam have teamed up to bring this to life with the next round served up by Jim Beam featuring Scoop Jackson and guests. Just as friends talk sports and news over a cocktail at the local hangout, Scoop and guests do the same. The next round served up by Jim Beam. Check it out on ESPN.com. Search Jim Beam. Jim Beam, the bourbon, says 1795. Please remember to drink smart. Jim Beam, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2010. James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky.
Addiction, physical, chemical addiction.
It's 11 o'clock.
It's time to play that real kick-ass open.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show with sports director Doug Duda.
Doug Duda with a sports update on ESPN.
Pick and roll, and Olmstead is wide open from Romy. And he's got him locked up, and he gets the pin. Michael Klingensmith gets pass knocked away by Ritschka. Jesse goes in for the layup, and it's up and in. And Ravenna's going to win state.
And Big Daddy Tony Davis.
It is now a new trophy. We have a new champion. A new champion is crowned.
Be big. I'll be big anyway. I don't know how much of a help I'll be.
This is so Apollo Creed and Rocky in the middle of the ring.
And now it's time for the best sports show in Central Nebraska.
I wouldn't go that far, Mayor.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show.
Martinez in the gun. Tanner Legate in the backfield with him along with Roy Hiller. Snap back to Martinez. Picks a handoff, keeps it himself. 40, 45, Martinez 30. There he goes. 20, 15, 10, 5. You betcha. Touchdown, Nebraska. And Tanner Martinez, welcome to Huskerland.
Trips to the far side. Burkhead off to the right. Up Tater Martinez. Tater in the shotgun gets the snap. Hands it off to Burkhead around the left end. 20, 15, 10. Burkhead cuts back 5. He dies. He leaves. He's in. Touchdown, Nebraska. Rex Burkhead weaves his way in there from 20 yards out of the Huskers' take. A 13-0 lead. Brandon Kenny set to the near side. Niles Paul to the far side. Snap back to Cody Green. Steps up, looks, guns, pass, headed toward the end zone. Niles Paul makes a catch. Touchdown, Nebraska. Cody Green hooks up with Niles Paul. 6 more points on the board for the Big Red. Martinez in the shotgun. Robinson in the backfield with it. They snap it back. Fake the handoff. Tater keeps it himself. Sheds the tackler. Martinez to the 10, to the 5. Lowers his shoulder. Fights. Drives. He's in the end zone again. Tater Martinez showing some magical moves to find Pater. It's 34-3 Nebraska.
It's the Doug and Daddy Show. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome back from the Labor Day holiday. Hope you didn't have to work all the days. I had to work some of them. Daddy, a little bit of work for Daddy, too, over the weekend. Whatever it was, it's a beautiful day, and we are talking football today. We've got so much to talk today. The Huskers, the Lopers, the Broncos, all winners on that opening day of Saturday. It was the second game for the Lopers, first for the Huskers, first for the Broncos, so that's all coming up. Plus high school, a couple of long losing streaks were snapped on Friday. Congratulations. I don't want to forget this in all that we've got to talk about today. Centura, and not just kinda, a nice win, breaking a 36-game losing streak, and also
the Falcons.
The Falcons of Wilcox-Hildreth. Congratulations to Wilcox Hildreth. Also a nice win. Really, neither one of them came right down to the wire, so maybe there's more wins in store. You never know. So congratulations to those two teams. The Ryder Cup is now concluded as far as the captain's picks from Corey Pavin. We'll try and talk about that. Also, volleyball over the weekend. What a great weekend for UNK. Huskers continue to be unbeaten, but UNK surprised me a little bit and just played outstanding. I mean, they were just a couple of points away from winning all four of their matches in what can be termed as the toughest competition, toughest weekend they've had in years. So congratulations.
You got to think that would be tougher than any tournament they get into towards the end of the year with the upsets that have occurred over the past.
It is. I mean, they will not have a tougher weekend until the postseason arrives. So congratulations there. Moves up 6 spots to number 7 in the poll and probably should be higher. Number 1 team got beat, stayed number 1. So we'll talk about that hopefully more tomorrow when our Loper link with Coach Squires. Also, Boise State got out of the gates quick and found a way to win at the end. And Navy, Coach Uga Maga Waga Jaga, what are you doing? You didn't get in on the first 3 cracks. You kicked the field goal and you go to overtime. This was not a 38-36 football game where you were scoring at will. It was 17-14, and you were consistently fumbling inside the 10-yard line. And I know your field goal kicker wasn't great, but that's an extra point. And I think he made both of those. So a little strange yesterday for Navy. That's a game that could cost them a pretty good bowl down the line. This is a team that doesn't go 12-0 and 10-2. I mean, that's a big loss yesterday for the Naval Academy.
It was a big loss for them. And you know what? A bigger win for Boise State than it was a bad loss for Navy. You know what? Special teams. How many times has Frank Beamer beat somebody with special teams? You go back to a lot of special teams and weird plays last night. But that third phase of the game, won or lost a game, and both teams could say that. But you know what? A fabulous football game was played. Two very, very good teams last night butted heads. And congratulations, Boise found a way.
Well, there were a couple of good teams that knocked heads on Saturday night at Al Coniglia Field in Omaha. And it's time for our Merck and Morris. Only time we don't have it on Monday because, well, you know, we didn't have a show yesterday. Now, the coaches were working hard at our Mondays with Merck and Morris on this Tuesday, brought to you, as always, by 5 Points Bank, the better bank. Your lifestyle, your bank, and your solution is 5 Points Bank, where they take care of their customers one at a time. 5 Points Bank, the better bank. And the head football coach of the Lopers, Daryl Morris, joins us after being able to soak in a very important victory for an extra day. Coach, congratulations on the heart stopper.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Big
hey, fill me in again. You guys didn't work yesterday because why? What was it?
Daddy needed the day off.
Oh, day off. Yeah. I'm going to have to try that one of these days.
Sorry,
is that where you don't go to work or something?
Bunch of sit-ups on Sunday, Coach. Had to take a break.
No kidding. You're sore today then.
You know, like you from May to July. You know, that's kind of... Coach, you don't talk about it beforehand. You may say something in the locker room, but let's face it, you were in the same situation a year ago, and despite if you run the table. I mean, even if you run the table in the conference, there are no guarantees. You had to come out of that game Saturday pretty much with a victory, and it didn't start well, but it finished well. It's some great big plays in that game.
Yeah, there were some big plays, and, you know, it is a tribute to the kids. I mean, we never did get down and never saw them drop their face or you know, anything. So they just kept plugging away and kept hammering away, and they found a way to get it done, and they beat a good football team, and they beat them at home, and spotted them a 10-point lead, you know, I think it was just a great all-around performance by our football team.
Coach, after you spotted them that 10-point lead, was there a coach that said something, a player that said something? It'd been really easy to hang their heads.
Well, you know, I think it's just the personality of the football team coming out. I've said this a little bit before. Last year I had a team that didn't panic, and this team appears to be the same type of football team, and they just kind of go about their business and keep working at it, and I think they understand our offense can score in a heartbeat, so you never really are out of it, and the defense just kept hammering away and finally started making some plays down the stretch in the fourth quarter.
Coach, I'm going to start with the Kearney High boy, Rustin Dring. One-headed catch, 3 touchdowns. He did it receiving the football. He did it running the football. He became an All-American this year again on Saturday. An unbelievable performance.
Well, you know, and it was. And a lot of times the offensive linemen don't get to see all those kind of things. So on Sundays when they're watching film, you know, there's the first time they get to see some of the moves and the runs and the catch and all that kind of stuff. And I think in Sunday's meeting, a couple of them at the same time almost said, just kind of looked at me and said, "Coach, he's pretty good, ain't he?" I go, yeah, he's pretty good.
Darryl Morris, head football coach at UNK, joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Obviously, a couple of big plays from the defense helped set some things up. Jay Kropp is the RMAC Defensive Player of the Week. Usually you see a score 32-29. You don't expect to have the Defensive Player of the Week, but he had a couple of huge ones.
He did. You know, the interception he had was big. He picked up a fumble, and you know, he just made a lot of plays, and he was all over the field, and he was running and going. You know, I think they even tried to pick on Jay a little bit, but I think he sounded to, you know, he answered the bell and did a great job for us.
Coach, you had 2 people also separate the football when they were going in to score to turn things around. Sam Cook from Central City and then a kid from Colorado.
Yeah, you know, and Sam just basically got healthy. I mean, and then we thought we hurt him again, but he's going to be okay. But, you know, that was great for Sam to get on the field. He'd been out since spring ball, early spring ball, missed a good portion of 2-a-days, if not most of 2-a-days. And then to get him on the field and have him come up with a big play was really, I think it was a great motivator for him.
Coach, it was 29 points, but it seemed like the defense played better, maybe just in the second half. Your analysis of the difference between the first 2 games?
Well, you know, I think, again, a lot of it's just unforced errors, you know, that we did not make. Some alignment assignment things were better, and they can still get better, and we're going to work on that this week when we got a little bit of a short week of practice. But there are just still a lot of things we can do. Defensive linemen adjusting their splits a little bit when they know it's a passing down, and just minor things that, you know, to the average eye don't mean a lot, but they mean a ton. You know, to us as we come down the stretch of a tight ball game. So we're going to continue to work on some of the fundamentals and the basics, just lining up right, just understanding what the down and distance is and what you should expect from your opponent, whether it be offense or defense.
Coach, take us back to 3rd and 9 and 4th and 9. I know you let Kropp just leave him alone and let him run his defense, but did you look down and say, "Send him, Bobby, send him"?
Well, I get in Coach's ear a little bit, and I was telling him, you got to have to dial him up. You know, we weren't getting the pass rush, I didn't think, out of the front 4 that we wanted, and I kept telling him to dial him up, you know, which means, in my verbiage, means, you know, get after him, send somebody, but we brought Jake Richardson in. He went in for an injury, and then all of a sudden he's up in the air knocking a ball down. That puts him in 2nd and long, and then the kid throws a bad ball, and then they're in 3rd and long, and I think the kids just weren't going to be denied on that one.
Coach Josh Rohde said, comment on him, what a game.
Super game. Josh, again, was our defensive player the week. This just continues to be the most solid, consistent player that we have on our football team, I think, and just a leader by example and just doing a great job for us defensively. He's as good as anybody in the MIAA. He's as good as anybody in the RMAC.
Coach, first ever back-to-back wins for you over UNO, something that hasn't happened since time began, I guess. I mean, just kind of touch on that.
Well, it's a big thing for us, you know. I mean, and it's UNO is a good football team. They're well coached and all that kind of stuff. And it's a great way to measure. It's a great measuring stick game for us, and it does kind of give us some insight as to what kind of a football team we have. And we know now that if we come on Saturdays and we play our best football game, I don't think there's anybody on our conference or anybody on our schedule we can't beat if we play well. So. You know, it's just a great win for our kids. It's a wonderful win for our seniors who I tell them all the time, someday you're going to be in an airport, you're going to sit out on a plane, and there's going to be some guy from UNO sitting next to you, and you can just giggle.
Hey, Darryl, you know what? Nobody heard any excuses after that Wayne State game. Just a yes or no question.
Yeah.
Was Rust and Drink, was it 105-degree temperature?
104.
Man.
104 the day before he had several IVs on Friday, several IVs on Saturday morning, and was not feeling his best.
Well, he looked pretty good, and I guess health-wise.
Dan McLaughlin's the luckiest sucker out there, isn't he?
Anything coming out of the game Saturday, Coach, are we all good?
You know, I think we're in pretty good shape, and we're actually going to start getting we're hoping that Brendan Lease will be back by the time we play in a week, and we hope that Matt Berry will be back, and a couple of Drew Wagner and a couple of the younger kids that provide some depth and stuff like that for us will be off the shelf. And so I'm hoping we'll start to become a little bit healthier as we get ready for that next game against Mesa State.
Okay, the next game is the conference opener, September 18th against Mesa State. Coach, you said maybe dialing it down a little this week. What about the bye week coming just after two games? What's the week look like?
We're going to practice today, Wednesday and Thursday, give them Friday and Saturday off, and come back and get on our normal schedule on Sunday. So that they'll get a couple days off towards the end of the weekend. We are in full tip pads today and tomorrow, and then we'll see on Thursday how we're doing, if we're going to go half pads or in shortened practice. So it's kind of that one's still up in the air, but today and tomorrow, full pads, about 2.5-hour practice.
Darryl, I got to give you a hell yeah. Great win.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Talk to you next week, Coach.
We'll see you guys.
That's the head football coach at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, Darryl Morris, after their 32-29 win at UNO. Folks, this is the truth. It's the first time that UNK has beaten UNO in back-to-back seasons. This is a whole two-game winning streak since the 30-31 season. 80 years. And it's only the second time Wayne State swept. I mean, it's weird.
That's pre-World War II if you go to UNO.
That's like the Depression. Maybe that's what started it in Omaha.
There's been some depression for the series for UNK.
That's just, it's amazing, and that's just how tough it's been. But a huge win there. And it didn't quite come down to the wire for the other two teams that we're talking about today, the Huskers and the Broncos. Hastings College, a 33-0 shutout of Briar Cliff. Offensively, just kind of spread it around. No huge numbers in any one area. Dalton Seeley did a great job. Troy Hubert did what he needed to do. But the defense pitches the shutout at Briar Cliff, and the head football coach at Hastings College, Paul Merkowitz, joins us today. Coach, great start.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, as we told Darryl, you got an extra day to kind of enjoy this before you get ready for a big matchup this weekend. But, boy, did you see this coming? Did you see this great performance coming from your football team?
No, I really didn't. And we were really, I think as a coach, you go into that first game and you're every little thing you try to stop from going wrong or prior to the game and getting your guys prepared. And our guys really, really played well. I was our coaching staff did a great job of getting them prepared, our guys were very aggressive in every aspect, and I thought we played pretty well for a first game.
Coach Troy comes out and he's been good for you, but he maybe has turned the corner and you become a real offensive threat.
I really think so. I tell you, he was, you look at the playoff game a year ago and then this one, his number's not overly gaudy, but I tell you, he really, really did a nice job. We missed on a couple of deep balls, but I think that's something we can work on over a period of time. But, he really distributed the ball all over the place, hitting tight ends and backs and receivers. And when we needed him to run the ball, he ran the ball extremely well. But I thought he really played well.
Hubert, 14-23, 154 yards, 3 touchdown passes. What the hell are you doing throwing it to the fullback?
Well, it happens every now and again. They weren't covering them. I can tell you that right now. So it wasn't a difficult decision to make. But Zach did a nice job. Does a lot of blocking for us, and it was nice to be able to get him in the end zone.
Obviously, everybody wondered how Seeley would pick up the offense, and must be picking it up pretty well.
Yeah, he really. It was something we've been kind of waiting to see here. You don't really see it in scrimmages and in practice as much, but he got on the edge on a couple of runs, and it was something special to watch. I'm really excited that he's really kind of getting what we're doing with the block and the schemes up front, and just such a physical back with a lot of speed as well. So it was really nice to see.
Paul Merkowitz, the head football coach at Hastings College, is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, as he does every week. Usually our Mondays with Merck and Morris, but today it's a Tuesday edition. They ran Hastings for 331 yards. Nobody over 100, though, Coach, which means you dispersed it a whole lot. Did you go in with the intentions of having everybody carry it kind of the amount of times that they did?
Yeah, I mean, that would be a pretty good plan for us the way it worked out. You know, I think, if we can get, we had some extended drives, so it was nice to get guys a lot of work, but if you can get, a few guys, 10, 12 carries and kind of see where everything's at. We were able to run about 72 plays offensively, and so that helped, obviously, to be successful moving it. But to be able to put a fresh back in there about every 2-3 series, I mean, it really helped us in the third quarter. You could see that we were pretty fresh.
Mark, we talked to Coach Morris about resting. You got Dalton there. Two area kids, it just brings an added level of excitement to the football program when those kids stay at home and are as good as these kids are, doesn't it?
It really does. And the nice thing with Dalton is very mature for a guy that just played his first college game. And he is getting a lot of attention, but he is also, it seems that he understands that, it takes a lot of work to get to this particular point, and so he just continues to keep working and continuing to compete, and like I said, with the other two guys there that are pushing him as well, it's nice to have three guys that can come in and do that. But to have local guys from your own backyard playing very well for you certainly helps.
Well, but obviously Seeley, not a very good recruiter. Daddy or Starrup would have committed to Hastings College.
That's so, very disappointing.
There you go. There you go.
That's very disappointing. Another area kid that's been on my radar for a long time, watching him play at Grand Island, has been Hudeberg, and he gets in and gets you a sack.
Guys, he was and the hit that he put on that quarterback at the end, man, it was lights out. But he probably played about 40, 45 snaps for us defensively. Really, really doing a nice job. I think, if we can keep him going in that direction and making plays and stuff like that, he's going to have a very special season for us, not only defensively, but in our special teams as well.
And Jake Mueller is the conference defensive player of the week, Coach.
Yeah, he really, they were having a tough time with Jake all day. And he's a tough guy to block as it is. And we were able to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback He was able to gain a lot of one-on-one matchups, and like I said, they just couldn't get him blocked most of the day.
Coach, you got a home opener coming up this Saturday. Your thoughts on it?
I'll tell you, Northwestern, I think. I haven't seen them in 2 years, and as soon as we turned the projector, it was just a reminder. I think they're the hardest-working team on our schedule. They play harder than anybody we play, and they had Sioux Falls. It was 21-10 in the third they were winning, and so we're going to have to be ready to go. They're a good football team, and it's going to be a good test for us.
What's the one thing that scares you about them looking at film?
Just their physical. I mean, they really get after you. They're going to be a shotgun zone read type team. So you got to make sure that you have all your assignments, and then defensively they've been one of the best in this league for the last 10 years. And so again, their ability to play physical, but they can finesse you too, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on us.
I'll follow that up with Coach. If you got one thing you got to clean up before next week, what is it?
Just some things assignment wise. I think we did miss some things. Obviously, you're going to have that in that first game, and so we're just kind of getting some things shored up, and then we'll, continue to add some different things offensively and defensively as we go, as the season goes.
Coach, I'll give you a hell yeah too. Hell yeah, good win.
Coach,
thank you very much.
Congratulations. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Thanks, guys.
That's Paul Merkowitz, head football coach at Hastings College. Right before that, Daryl Morris, head football coach at UNK. If you ever miss any of our interviews, go to the podcast at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our Mondays with Merck and Morris. I know it's Tuesday, but because of the holiday, brought to you as always by Five Points Bank. Proud of its long history of being the local community bank to count on in our area. Growth in deposits and loans in the past 20 years is unparalleled in the Tri-City area. They've also concentrated on being a profitable and secure place for their customers. Growth, profitability, and providing the best in customer service are goals they strive for and achieve. making Five Points Bank your safe, secure banking choice. Five Points Bank is your clear choice as the bank to count on. Five Points Bank, the better bank. A whole lot more to touch on. We've got to get to the Doug and Daddy Pick'em, how Daddy's selections went, plus Bo Pelini's press conference, all coming up after this.
Attention, all males over 30. Do you get fatigued and find you're still gaining weight every year? Charger can reduce the fat around your core and increase your energy. So, if you're a guy over 30 and you want to lean up, lose the gut, and get more stamina than you've had in years, take charge with Charger. Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue or call 338-1FIT. That's 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
There's nothing like cheering on the home team, UNK Lopers. The blue and gold is in town tonight, and Platte Valley State Bank, a community bank you can count on, reminds you to get with the crowd and get to the game and cheer on the UNK Lopers.
Tonight, it's the home opener for the UNK women's soccer team as they welcome in Augustana to begin a four-game homestand. Kickoff at Foster Field is set for 7 o'clock. UNK women's soccer tonight, Augustana, 7 o'clock at Foster Field.
Saving money is important, but sometimes spending money makes good sense too. Like when you need a more reliable car, an energy-saving heat pump, or a first home. Sometimes you need help making these purchases, and that's when you need a reliable community bank. You need Platte Valley State Bank. Whether you need a short-term loan, a home equity line of credit, or a mortgage loan, Platte Valley State Bank will help you make sound and responsible choices. They have competitive rates and simple, straightforward programs. You can apply online or visit a personal banker. Good lending choices you can count on. That's Platte Valley State Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Here's a look at our forecast throughout our Tuesday afternoon. Calling for that mostly sunny sky. We'll have varying winds 5 to 15 miles an hour with our high in the middle 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy, low near 50, and then for our Wednesday, high in the lower 80s. Currently 66.
Work it, make it, do it, makes us older, better, faster, stronger.
Don't forget all the guests on the Doug and Daddy Show, and they're fed by Burger King with two locations in Kearney next to Walmart with the King's Cafe and free Wi-Fi and high-definition television, 56th Street and 2nd Avenue. If you got the kids, head to the 8th Street and 3rd Avenue location near Kearney Cinema because they have their huge indoor playground. And why not $2 doubles with bacon? $3 at Burger King. Two locations in Kearney, Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. We will be getting to Bo Pelini's press conference coming up here in just a little bit, and then we'll have our breakdown afterwards. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox, where the email is always open, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com. Irish Ken, let's start with him. He's been on enough that, you know, he deserves to be number one today. Number one. Not that number one. Number one. Ken says week one is in the books, and what have we learned? One, I was not impressed with Nebraska's defensive effort. Okay, so we've learned that Ken is not impressed with Nebraska's defensive effort. Two, and let me just say that here's the weird thing. Western Kentucky scored as many touchdowns and fumbled at the goal line, so almost two, like one and a half. They've scored as many touchdowns as Texas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas, and Arizona did combined last year against Nebraska. Scary. Number two, Navy gets hosed by Big East officials. What else is new? Well, you got to quit fumbling inside the 10-yard line. Three, Brent Musburger was ready to declare Boise national champions midway through the fourth quarter of their game with the Hokies. Once again, the refs blow it to allow Boise to win the game. What? What? There's a lot of bad calls. Not a lot of bad calls. Virginia Tech, that was not a late hit out of bounds last night. Also, running into the kicker or there was a pass interference called on Boise. That, I mean, there was a couple that just went, really? Late hit and rough, you gotta put your hands out or lower your shoulder. That thing yesterday on the last drive where you weren't sure if he was out of bounds or not and he bumps into him, you can't flag that. You made the mistake by not blowing the whistle and blowing the plate in. At number four, Irish Ken says, Irish will have to play better defense to beat Michigan. We'll find out how good Kelly is this week, Irish Ken. Yeah, they were pretty unimpressive as well. Adam and Holdridge, hey guys, good to have some football to talk about again. Quick impressions from the game. Taylor looked good. That's Taylor Martinez.
Team magic, if you will.
Jesus. Ran as well as expected and passed better than I expected. Really? Cody Green also looked better than I expected him. Niles Paul still needs to stop carrying the football like it's an open, soiled diaper. High and tight, buddy. How is this still a problem? And then Adam says, defense looked very uninterested at times. Secondary, for the most part, was untested, but did have some Hilltoppers running wide open back there. Linebacker showed some flashes, and Bo Pelini's ready to go in Lincoln. So he's on time. Let's go to Lincoln.
I said yesterday that a lot of the things that happened I kind of expected going in. But, you know, you want it to be perfect, but I knew it wasn't going to be perfect. And but everything's really fixable, so I'm not a great deal of concern there.
Well, what's the extent of Compton's injury, and when do you expect him back?
I'm not sure when he'll be back. He'll probably be, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 weeks. I don't know.
What is his injury specifically?
I don't talk about that. It's his foot.
You guys gave up like 365 yards in your opener a year ago, and you guys went on to become, you know, one of the nation's best defenses. So, you know, you kind of take, in some way, can you take with a grain of salt what happened the other night?
Oh, yeah. I mean... trust me, I don't push the panic button. You know, you know where it is, and it doesn't change our expectation going in, and it doesn't change our standards. Like I said, there are a lot of things that I kind of expected. We were better in some areas than I thought. We were worse in some areas, but it's not like anything. Most of it's very fixable. A lot of things were communication errors, missed calls, that type of thing. And those things are really easily fixable. And those are things that happen in the first game.
What were you better at? Where do you think you're better at?
Well, I wasn't, you know, in a lot of areas, our technique was pretty good. And I thought we were pretty good on the back end. Where, you know, when we got lined up, we were pretty good. And we were all on the same page. But like I said, most of the things were technique, or not technique, were communication issues, and I kind of anticipated that was going to be the case coming in.
So how much more vocal does Levante David need to be out there?
I didn't mention Levante's name, did I?
How much more does the defense as a whole need to be more vocal out there?
You know, defense always has to be better across the board. You have to communicate well, especially the way we play defense. I mean, the communication has to be good across the board. And everybody has to talk, and that just comes from growing together and getting more comfortable with each other. And like I said, that's, if you look at my history, that's our style of defense. You get better as you go on, as you get more time together, I've been here before, and I'm not real concerned. I'll be concerned if I'm saying this 4 or 5 weeks from now. But I don't think that'll be the case.
What is it about your style of defense that makes everything ace?
Without getting into it real deep, it's we game plan, and we get pretty specific on a weekly basis on how we're going to do things. We make a lot of adjustments, checks, calls, and that takes time. And You know, and one of the reasons I said I kind of expected that going in last week is because we weren't real sure what we were going to get from the opposing offense. I mean, you know, we had to practice a lot of different things, and because we weren't exactly sure what they were going to feature, how they were going to do it, because it was a new staff. We had some educated guesses as to what we were going to see. So that makes it a little more difficult on the guys in that we probably exposed them to too much last week. And maybe did a little too much for that being the situation and having some youth in there. But, you know, our situation kind of changed on Thursday when Will Compton went down. And not that the other guys weren't capable of doing it, because they are, but it changes. Because we weren't expecting that to be the case. So, like I said, it's not something I'm real concerned with, because I've already seen it. We've already made big strides in since the game.
Do you feel like those two linebackers who had to step in for the two people who were injured during fall camp got a valuable learning lesson out of this deal? And do you think that that sort of enhances that position if any of those, Will Compton returns, Fisher won't be back?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, anytime you walk out there, it's a learning experience. And everyone wants to focus on the linebackers. It wasn't just the linebackers. There was communication, errors across the board. And I'm not going to sit there and say where it came from and point the finger, because we don't do it that way. There are a lot of things that I could have done, we could have done better as a coaching staff to make things better. But in the end, you know, what we needed to do to win the game. Now you progress, you move forward, you get better, and I think that's what you're going to say.
You mentioned last week about David's instincts as a football player. The first half especially, it seemed like he was playing a lot on instinct. Was that impressive to you at points?
What do you mean he was playing on a lot of instinct?
It seemed like he'd be in the right place at the right time, all the time, even if he was
that's not just instinct, that's execution. And sometimes he was in the right place at the right time doing the wrong thing or reading the wrong thing, you know. And, you know, every play is different, you know. But I can say this, he did a lot of good things in the football game, but he has a lot to improve upon. And I think he'd be the first one to say that.
Coach, where does Deshaun Gomes rank in terms of just instinctive playmakers, specifically that fumble strip he had? I mean, it seems like he has a flair for those type of plays where he always comes up with a big play in a big moment.
John's a good football player, and I thought he was as valuable a guy as we had on our defense last year, and I think he's going to have another good year. I don't think he played. I don't think he played his best football the other day, but you know, I don't think anybody did, and you shouldn't in the first game.
Were there any specific challenges to facing an offensive line that averages 340, I think the biggest line in college football,
Night of Hope. Is there any specific challenges about it?
Yeah.
No, we played big lines before. It's about technique and fundamentals. It's that's how you offset that.
Coach, what about their quarterback? When you see him, assess him, I guess, what makes him good that you see?
I think he's a good player. I think he makes good decisions. I think he's comfortable in their offense. And I think he's a good football player. I think, I can't say much more than that. I think he's executes very well.
How familiar are you with the story, kind of being a local Nebraska kid from North Platte?
I don't know anything about him, really, personally. I mean, he probably was recruited before. I was way down south at that point. But I just know about him what I watch on film. He's a good player.
What was it about your defense last year that enabled those guys to get better? I mean, was it just time? Is that basically what they need to just adjust to your scheme and adjust to your new role, I guess?
Well, that's always what it takes. It takes practice. It takes reps. You know, we've only had 29 practices going into the first game. I mean, that's not a lot of time. You know, that's about 2 weeks of pro practice, you know, during 2-a-days. And, you know, you just look across the board. You just look at college football. There are a lot of mistakes. You know, it's early in the season. You hope you get, but you got to keep getting better. That's why we practice. And defensively, try. You know, our plan, our recipe stays the same. I mean, there's this not, you know, we haven't changed anything. And like I said, if you just look at like history, you look at teams that get, you should get better as you move on, as you make different decisions, as you slot your personnel in differently, as you figure things out about your guys after playing in a game. And I have no question that's going to happen. Our expectations of what our defense is going to be is exactly the same.
How much easier is it for your defensive coaches to game plan this week as opposed to last week when you didn't know much about Western Kentucky, what they were going to do?
Well, I think it's easier. I mean, thank you. We probably, you know, I'm not putting anything down on Western Kentucky, but I think this is a better offensive football team. It's been together longer. I think they're more experienced. The quarterback's more experienced in the system. But, you know, I think that you have more history of what they are and what they like to do. But doesn't mean you can stop it. It means you got to. I mean, your challenges are still there. It's pretty good football. They have some guys who can make plays.
Hey, Bo, what impressed you? Did anything in particular stand out about the three freshmen who got a lot of snaps on the offensive line? And maybe something that they had in common was a good thing?
You mean like the redshirt freshman included?
Searles, Qualley, and Andrew Rodriguez.
Oh, I thought they all did some good things. I thought Searles played well. I mean, but I think all of them, you know, I think they, you know, assignment-wise, they were pretty on. I thought they played real hard. I thought they came off the ball and played pretty physical at times, especially when they knew what they were doing. Obviously, there was a little indecision at times. But I thought they represented themselves well. But, you know, there's a lot to clean up there. And, you know, technique-wise and things like that. But I thought for the first time of being under the lights, I thought they reacted well.
What about Caputo coming in as a walk-on guy and getting some rep of that off the start for you now? How's he doing?
Yeah, he's a good player. He's a really good football player, and we're real happy with where he is right now. He does a good job, and he's physical, he's smart, he takes charge up there, and I feel real good about our center, about him playing center for us.
Can you talk about him? Despite his size, he seems to make the play, make the block.
You know, size. You know, people get caught up on size. These days. You know, I think back to my time at LSU, and probably the two best centers we went against were probably in the 260, 265 range. And you know, it's especially the center position. It's about. It's not about size. It's about quickness. It's about intelligence. It's about obviously want to and having heart. I think that Caputo's got all those things, and he's a good football player.
Well, when you kind of restart this week after the way you played the quarterback Saturday, where are you kind of at with that? What do you kind of want mapped out to this week and maybe into Saturday?
Say that again, Ryan.
Just kind of what kind of plan do you have going forward with your quarterbacks as far as maybe how you want to use them Saturday and when you kind of establish that this week?
I mean, really, nothing's really changed as far as what our plan is with the quarterbacks.
Would you want to be a little more settled at a certain point by the end of this week?
Well, we were pretty settled on Saturday. I mean, we had our plan going in, and we settled on that plan, and we stuck with it. And but that's always subject to change, depending on practice, games. I've said it, you know, I thought all three quarterbacks played real well, which I think is a really good situation. And they all executed well. And I feel real good about a quarterback situation. I mean, I answer your question.
How impressed are you with the maturity of your quarterbacks handling, I guess, your roles that you give them?
They're all mature. They're all team guys, and they're all good football players, and they all got a tremendous amount of character. So I feel pretty good about it.
Hey, Bo, kind of expanding on what Fritz was asking, once you hit conference play, do you expect a rotation at the position, or do you want to have a set guy?
I only worry about is today. I'm not worried about what happened in conference play. We're going to do what we need to do to win football games. And like I said, I'm not whatever it takes to win. That's what we're going to do.
Well, I think it was. There's obviously going to be a game to game variance, but I think you had 13 runs by those guys. Do you got an idea how much you want to run in the ball?
It depends what the offense or the defense is giving you. But I'm not afraid to run our quarterback. I think you saw that the other night.
Did he exceed your expectations, or is that kind of what you saw all fall camp with him?
I know he's capable of doing that. I think the other guys are too. But I think I thought you saw him all run well. But yeah, I think he's an explosive player. People better account for him. He's a good player.
Did you see the game last night?
A little bit.
Well, is that good for college football? Always eating, you know, the underdog and all that stuff.
It's up for you guys to decide. I got my thoughts on it, but it doesn't really matter what I think.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
That's Nebraska football coach Bo Pelini here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Sean Watson is expected to speak here right away, so we'll keep it here and hear a few comments from offensive coordinator Sean Watson. Bo had a pretty good 7-8 minutes with the media after practice yesterday. You could tell that maybe there weren't a whole lot of questions left to ask today. Was that a good thing?
No, I think everybody feels pretty comfortable with his team, but not a lot of question marks. Obviously, you got some injuries out there. They want to know what the injuries are. He doesn't really go into that. I just think, you played a team in Western Kentucky. You were supposed to take care of business. Basically, you did. Yeah, the defense, say what you want. I go back to the defense. Here's what I'll say about the defense, Doug, is you look at the defensive line. When you're running sideline to sideline, Jared Crick was one of those players going out of bounds over there a lot. 94 was tumbling out of bounds, doing the same thing Sue did a year ago.
Let's go now. Sean Watson is at the podium.
It can be an interesting venture, and I thought Taylor was exceptionally poised and played a really competitive game, which is how we know him. You know, I think he's always been that way with us, but you never know how they're going to respond in a true situation. I thought he was awesome.
Sean, after talking to Cody after the game, there seems to be a real support system there between Zach and Cody and Taylor,
right,
helping each other on the sidelines. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, you know, it's something that, I try to foster in our room, because I understand how much they need each other and how important each one of their roles are. It's key to our success as a team. So we don't allow any selfishness in our room, no self-centeredness. And we really, I try to create an environment where it's they have to help each other. And require them to help each other, set up little situations, whether it's a film study or practice, where they need each other to help each other. So, it's kind of, it works out really well. And I'm proud of what they've done because, both Cody and Zach obviously wanted to have that opportunity, and those guys have put the team first, which is part of our culture here. I mean, that's exactly what Bo does with everybody. That's where our team is. So it's good to see that culture, is, inbred in those guys and that they believe in it.
Coach, how much will you learn about Taylor when just that real first piece of adversity is thrown at him in a game? Because obviously he didn't really get that first moment on Saturday against Western.
It's the process. It's part of the process. It's a huge process, part of the process with any quarterback or any player for that matter. How you deal with those things. We've set those things up in practice, and we put their back against the wall. Sometimes they put their own back against the wall and have to fight out of there, and we let them fight out of there because we understand what you're talking about. Your question is a valid question because they have to learn how to respond in adversity. But it will be different in a game. Practice is practice, and as hard as we try to make it, game-like, and it's never quite like that, because you got 86,000 as opposed to 150 guys on a field, watching. So it'll be another next test for him. But it'll, knowing Taylor, you know, he's just so even keeled and so competitive. You know, I think he'll, I know he will. He'll find his way through it.
He did struggle a little bit in a two-minute offense there, a couple of possessions.
Yep.
What did you, how do you evaluate that? What do you see from him, and what were you looking for next time?
Well, truthfully speaking, he was, Taylor's a real truthful kid, obviously, and, I think he was nervous in that situation. That's a situation a quarterback, as they learn to become, where they really have their feet underneath them, they learn to become poised and confident in that situation. They want to be in that situation. You know, like I can relate to Joe. Joe would always look forward to 2 minute. I mean, he loved 2 minute. He loved to practice it. He loved to be in a game. He'd like to be in it all the time. And that's where a quarterback will grow too. And I believe Taylor will grow there too. He just needs the experience in it, because many times when we get the guys from high school, they haven't been in a whole lot of 2 minute drills. And, it's a pressure, always a pressure throwing situation. So he'll get better. What I like to see from him next time is just manage it. You know, he knew the answers yesterday as we went out through the film, and looking back on it, I'm sure, he would tell you the same thing. You know, next time in it, he'll look for his first completion. He'll look for the first down, which are things that we emphasize and get our offense in a rhythm, as opposed to trying to take shots, at the defense. We didn't need to. We just need to operate.
How has Taylor changed over the past few days now that the whole town seems to be talking about him?
He hasn't. That's not him. He hasn't. He doesn't. He's just, Taylor is, he loves ball. He loves to compete. He has not changed one bit. He's still the same Taylor.
Does he acknowledge some of that attention?
Not that I, I think he obviously, I see it in him. I see that, he knows he's getting attention, but I think he would really kind of like it all to go away and everybody leave him alone and let him just do his thing. That's just his makeup. He's really a very even-keeled person that way.
As if his expectations were high enough, his first carry, he takes it 46 yards for a touchdown.
Oh, you heard him. He wanted to score. That's what he was looking for. But that's the competitive side of him. That's who he is. So, not to interrupt your question, but, that's the way he thinks about. He doesn't see little plays. He sees big plays. That's the competitive edge I'm talking about that he has.
Sean, did things become clear in your mind how the future of all these guys are used about Saturday, or does this go another week?
We have learned, because we're dealing with human beings and people that, and young guys too, we'll play a slow hand, and we'll each week we'll evaluate the situation based off of practice, based off last performance, first practice that week, as to how we play on Saturday. So we're in the process of doing that now, and we really trust Bo and I both go into it with a plan, and then we trust our instincts. So we'll see what that looks like at the end of the week.
Mm-hmm. How much you weigh it versus what they do in practice?
I think game performance obviously is huge, huge. And the consistency of game performance is even bigger, because now you start putting good days on top of each other. And when that starts happening, I think that's when a clearer picture begins to develop. So it'll happen here over time. No, it's a great question, because we do have a lot of weapons, and but we have a plan going into it. I mean, we work hard at targeting our people, and we have several different ways. We're not one-dimensional in the way that we target our guys. We have several different ways in which we target them, be it the pass or be it the run. And actually, when we build plans, we're thinking about, individuals in our offense getting touches and creating touches for them, because they're the guys who can deliver explosion plays. So our system allows us to do that, though. We have a really good system, and that system allows that to happen. So we just have to use our creativity. It's on us as coaches to continue to do that and put those guys in places to make plays for us.
So you're saying, like, a guy like Niles, mm-hmm. if he hasn't touched the ball in the first two, three possessions,
Yes, yeah. We always, using Niles as an example, he's a guy that we target. several different ways. You know, we target him all over the lot. You know, you're not going to see him ever line up in one specific position. He'll be all over the place. He'll handle it in the passing game, handle it in the run game. He'll handle it in primary progressions where he's one or two. He may be an isolation route where there is one. He's a guy that we may, you know, develop isolation routes or screen plays, or, you know, where we know the ball is going to go to him. So, you know, we will always work with that mindset with him and others. I mean, because like you said, if we just had one guy, it wouldn't be so so I want to say easy. That's not the right word to use, but a challenge might be a better word to say. We have several guys we want to do that with. BK's one. You know, Mike McNeil has his role. Rex obviously has his. Roy has his. You know, Ben Cotton has things we want to do with him. So sometimes it seems like, you know, I think, you know, the public perception is you have enough balls to go around. And we do. You know, because we want, when you look at us, when a season ends or a game ends, you want to see multiple touches by multiple people. That's what you want to see. Because now defense can't say, okay, they just do this. Or this guy just does this. We do a lot of different things that allow a lot of people to touch the ball. So it keeps the defense off balance and guessing.
Sean, how hard was it to tell Zach his role in that first game after starting all last season?
You know, it's hard. You know, Bo and I both told him when we sat down and talked to him, we understood how hard it was, what we were saying to him. You know, because we're people, too, with, you know, sons. And we understood what we were saying. We've been competitors also. And we understand what it's like. And, you know, we ask him, you know, obviously to take on a huge role because he's very important to our team. He has a strong leadership with our guys. He's very well respected. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, we wanted to make sure that we broke him, you know, he understood from us that his role was even more important now, and how he handled it would really say a lot about who he is and, you know, what his intentions are for our team. And I think he's answered like a champion, man. He's been awesome.
When was he told about that? Was it Saturday or was it?
No, we told him all Monday of last week.
Mm-hmm. So, Coach, you haven't seen his demeanor really change?
No, not at all. In fact, you know, Zach has been, you know, he's been helpful. He's been a resource for the two younger guys. You know, he's been really a real champion with those guys. Been great.
Sean, Taylor's obviously kind of a quiet guy. Mm-hmm. Over the last, I don't know, 15 months or so, you had to coach him to sort of communicate with his teammates, or is that something he can just turn on and off?
No, he's, you know, I think one of the things that's happened with Taylor is that, and it happens with all the younger players, I think he's filling his role now more. So he is a much, much better communicator than he was even 3 weeks ago. So he's continually grown in that area. You know, he has opinions. He shares those opinions with me. You know, there's some things like, you know, I had a play in the openers that, you know, he wanted. He came to me and said, "Coach, can I be in the gun on this play?" And, you know, those kind of things are critical because I've always – I tell the quarterbacks, I don't have to do this. You have to do it. So I conceptually or schematically, I feel comfortable with it. Now, you have to. So they have the trump card. If they want to scratch something or don't feel comfortable with something, they need to tell me so we can get it fixed. Because we want them to go out and do what? Execute at a high level. So, you know, he's been able to communicate in that way, which I think as a freshman or even, you know, back in the spring, even back when we started 2 days, he probably wasn't comfortable doing that. But the sense of where his role has grown and the responsibility a quarterback has, I mean, he understands he's got to hit that thing on the screws, and he's been really good that way.
Did he have a teammate that or somebody on the offense that sort of communicated that to?
I think we – no, I can't really speak for him, obviously, but I would say this. I think everybody, that message has been real clear to him. Again, you know, I know he's heard Zach say that. I know he's heard Cody say that as we're sitting in there, because those guys have had to obviously play in games and be prepared to be starters, so they understand the importance of that role and what responsibilities that takes. So I think that way, yes.
Quarterbacks always talk about the game slowing down. Is that anything you can replicate in practice, or does it take games?
No, it takes games. You know, it takes games. I mean, it's – I think there's a level of practice that you get that in, But it's not like 86,000 people on a team that you don't know. You know, that's different. That's the different part. I think what happens in practice, though, practice puts you in a position where you, you know, begin to feel comfortable with what you're doing and confident in it, which is what took place first in Taylor's life to put him at the level he's at, you know, become the starting quarterback.
Can you see it when it starts to slow mm-hmm. down?
Yeah, absolutely. 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 You know, it all really starts with just getting, number one thing I think is you know the system, you're comfortable with it, and then you compete inside it. And that's what I saw in him, those two things.
Do you think you got a change of pace potential with these guys, Sean, where something that will help you down the line if you want to throw something different at teams along the way?
Well, yes, and, you know, how we manage that and go along with it, again, that's something we need to grow to. But I don't want to ever shut my mind or my box, you know, I leave the box open so I don't have to, I want to color outside the lines a little bit. And, you know, that because I know how that gives defensive teams problems. We have to grow to there, though, and we have to, you know, I think the players do. Our system does, and you know we're stretching our wings on it always. I mean, we did it again this week. We'll do it again the following week. We'll continue to push ourselves as a staff and keep opening ourselves up to that.
Do you think you got the skills or the pieces where that could develop, where those guys are different, and if the game's going a certain way, where you can?
I tell you what, it's hard for me to answer that because you know I'm still, you know. I say I don't want to close my box to it. I don't want to close my box to thinking that way. But yet at the same time, I know how important it is to be the starter, you know, and not to, you know, to have, you know your role. So I don't want to, I wouldn't go down that path yet.
So over your career, what's been your experience with just running multiple quarterback systems, running two or more?
You know, we don't run – I've watched people try to run a system where they have a runner and have a passer. I think that's a bad deal. So we've not trained these kids or raised these guys that way. We are user-friendly, man. You do both. And you have to do both at a high level in order to get in the mix, which, again, going back to the competition during the camp, that's what they've all done. They've all really playing at a real high level right now inside our system. So they can equally do both. Zach has become a better runner. Taylor became a better passer. Cody became a better manager. So when all those things, all those aspects, you know, come together, you know, you've got pretty, you know, pretty strong competition and three good players.
Right now, do you envision a scenario anytime soon where just one guy plays a whole game?
Stay tuned. We'll see. We'll see where we grow to. See what happens.
So talk about Cody Green being a better manager. How has he grown in the past year since when he got?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people have made a comment to me, both, you know, guys in the business and people outside the business. He just looks like he has a calm demeanor on the field. You know, there's confidence. You can tell in the way he managed those two scoring drives. He was given passing opportunities that he was very poised in the pocket. He handled a zero pressure and just did a great job of managing that for us, where a year ago he would have got nervous in the service. And something may have happened good for us or it could have happened bad for us. So that's how he's grown. He's become very poised and confident in his business.
How vanilla are you keeping in the first couple of weeks?
We're not. No. We don't believe in vanilla. Vanilla's bad. We don't believe in vanilla. Don't want to do that.
Last year you kind of had to, I don't know, you didn't live by your philosophy completely just because you wanted to.
Right.
Yeah.
Not anymore. We don't have to live that way because we're we have experience. B, we're healthy. We can cut it loose and we can play. You know, we need to do that for us because all the playmakers we spoke of earlier. I mean, we've got guys that can make plays all over the lot, so we need to get them touches.
Increase your range of motion when you were building the offense during the offseason?
It's huge to have a back like Rex, who can, you know, Rex can be a receiver, Rex can be a blocker, Rex can be a, obviously he's a great runner. He can do multiple things for you and he's got a great feel for it. And that gives you, that's a huge piece in our big puzzle. I mean, he's big and all that. He's a player. He makes plays. Sure. Yep, he's been outstanding. He's he's backed up one of the best centers I've ever been around in Jacob Hickman. And I'll be honest with you, he in one game now, so it's one game. But he's practiced this way too. There's no drop off in the performance at center. I mean, he's played very well. He's got a great motor for the game and appetite for the game. He loves competing. Very good technician, very smart. And like our quarterback, they have to manage a lot of things as a center, line calls, and get us triggered into the right line calls because it starts inside out. And he does an outstanding job. Real smart player, heady, got a great motor, tenacious guy.
Sean, is there any value in having going with the same quarterback for more than two seasons? Because Nebraska hasn't had that since Eric Crouch. I mean, you kind of see it last night with Boise. I mean, is there?
You hope to do that. Yeah, every program would hope to do that. Every year you don't want to change every year, no. But those things have to be competed for, and proven. Good. Thanks, guys.
That's Sean Watson, actually, I think, speaking longer than head coach Bo Pelini did, the offensive coordinator. A lot of questions about Taylor Martinez. He seems very comfortable with where things are at. Also saying, for the folks that didn't know, that last Monday is when the quarterbacks were informed of what was going on. Great job by them. I wonder what the penalty would have been if they didn't let out who the starter was.
Death.
Yeah, death kicked off the team. Yeah. Never would have got to play again in the rest of their world. The worst misery ever. I mean, it was something. It was bad, bad. Great job that they didn't get that out. I think big deal, but great job that they got that out and kept that under wraps. Just a lot of talk about the quarterbacks, and sounds like Bo says the competition's ongoing. I don't think the competition's ongoing anymore with Sean Watson.
I think the competition continues throughout the season. I don't think there'll be a big shakeup. Yeah, you think the gameplay is huge. Well, obviously, the gameplay last week obviously would tip the scales towards Taylor Martinez, though you get more reps out there.
Well, don't you think the only way Taylor Martinez doesn't start every game this year besides injury is if he would really have to stink for more than a full game.
Oh, absolutely.
So the competition's not really ongoing. I mean, anybody, anywhere, that would be the situation. If you stunk it up and cost your team two games, they'd probably be looking at making a change.
I'm not sure. You go up to Washington and stink that first half. I think maybe you look at a different option, though. You don't move the ball and do some...
Well, we'll take your thoughts, 888-455-ESPN. We've got Troutman's Trivia coming up, so remember that number, 888-455-3776. Also, a lot more to talk about on the Doug and Daddy Show. You can email us with your comments, your thoughts on what you heard from Bo Pelini and Sean Watson today, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com, douganddaddy@espnsuperstation.com, and have your questions ready tomorrow for our second Big Red Lunch of the season. It's at the Motor Inn in Shelton, and it gets underway at 12 noon. We'll be there live with the Doug and Daddy Show from 11 to 12. Then Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star will be on hand to answer your questions. Lunch is there, brought to you by Complete Nutrition. Look better, feel better, perform better. And it's our Big Red Luncheon. Sean Callahan of Huskers Illustrated, Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal-Star, they'll be making the trips throughout the season. And tomorrow, we're at the Motor Inn. It gets underway at noon. Make sure you're there in your seat by noon. We'll get underway and have Steve Sipple talk about the Western Kentucky game, the Idaho game, and the quarterback situation, and answer all your questions tomorrow at noon at the Motor Inn in Shelton.
Looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing Sip.
Heard the meal's going to be pretty good.
Can't go wrong.
Back after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, Greeny.
Yes, Golick.
Let me tell you, the likelihood of your participating in our next show just went from probable to doubtful.
Gotta tell you, you look a little flushed, big man. What's the problem?
You overruled my trade in our fantasy football league.
Well, Golick, that is my right as commissioner of Fantasyville.
But there was absolutely nothing wrong with that trade.
Nothing wrong? Golick, I cannot let you trade away a top five running back for six packs of Johnsonville sausage, especially when you're still in the playoff hunt.
Why not? If I win the league and win the cash, what am I going to buy with my winnings?
Let me take one guess. Johnsonville sausage?
That's right, my overly prim friend. This way, I guarantee plenty of juicy Johnsonville brats and Italian sausages with the perfect blend of spices will be sizzling on my grill while the season is still going on.
Give it credit, you actually thought this through.
What? You thought I was just surrendering to the cravings of a fat man?
No comment. Trade approved. Take your game day party from good to great with juicy Johnsonville sausage, made with only premium cuts of pork since 1945. Johnsonville sausage is all we do.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. When it comes to keeping it simple, having your auto and home insured by the same company just makes sense. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, we make it easy to combine and save. And you pay only one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence if you have a loss. To learn more, call Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney at 234-4922. 234-4922. Farm Bureau makes insurance simple. Call them at 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Here's a look at our forecast throughout our Tuesday afternoon. Calling for that mostly sunny sky, we'll have varying winds 5 to 15 miles an hour with our high in the middle 70s. For tonight, partly cloudy, low near 50, and then for our Wednesday, high in the lower 80s. Currently 66.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Got more to talk about in Troutman's Tuesday Trivia in just a moment. But folks, it is football season. You've went through this first weekend watching football, trying to watch the Huskers, trying to watch the Lopers and Mavs at home, watching the final exhibition games. You went, why is my back, why is my backside hurt so much? Bad chair, Daddy. It's a bad chair. It's a bad couch.
It's no brainer.
Get it taken care of at Bruce Furniture in Kearney, Holdridge, and Hastings. Receive free in-home interior design service. No purchase necessary. Offer a full line of interior design services for every room to go with your chair. Because, you know, you probably want to, you know, Ma or the wife. You know, Chet said, Ma, I want a new chair. Mom, I want a new chair. What am I going to do? Well, he's got to match the room. And they're going to do that for you at Bruce Furniture. An in-home trial period before you even make the purchase. They'll deliver your sofa, lamp, or even wall decor so you can make sure it looks as good in your home as it does in the showroom. Bruce Furniture, making shopping worry-free with just the right trial period for you. No after-the-sale add-ons, no fine print. The price of a piece of furniture or mattress is the price at Bruce Furniture in Kearney, Hastings, and Holdridge.
And don't forget, the weather's cooling down. Maybe you and the wife want to go for a nice drive on a Thursday afternoon. Hell, maybe you go to Alliance. Pick up a chair at Bruce Furniture there. You got another store there.
And you could go to Alliance on a Thursday afternoon, most regular people.
I'm just saying, you and the wife get the day off work. Maybe you're looking to go take a drive.
Maybe you got some family out in Alliance. Maybe you're sending your kid to some bad college out there.
There you go.
You know, and you know it's only about 45 miles to drive
fall,
to Alliance.
Fall
from there.
Colors are changing.
There you go. It's time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Call now, 888-455-3776. If you have not won in the last 2 months, you are eligible for a $25 gift card for the greatest meat, steaks, bacon, ground beef. It's all there at Troutman's Quality Meats. 888-455-3776. We take your calls on the air, so let's get after it. Daddy, you going first. We're going to mix it up. We've got a bunch of different football questions. Let's go to the phone lines. Who are we chatting with?
This is Grady.
Brady or Grady?
Grady.
Okay. Daddy, you want to go?
Hey, Grady, what city is are the Idaho Vandals from?
Moscow.
Oh, my
what?
God.
I get lunch again.
No, yeah.
Nobody's going to know that. Nobody's. Merritt?
Nothing was said about lunch.
No, I should have bet you, though. I knew, and I'd have won.
Grady, how do you know Moscow?
You'd have taken it.
Unbelievable.
You can't let Daddy pick the questions. Unbelievable. But that also means you're pretty smart, Grady. Hey, hang on the line. Congratulations for knocking the first pitch you saw right out of the park. Merritt's going to get your information and get that $25 gift card to you. Thanks for listening, bud.
All right.
What are the chances?
You 90, thought it was 10 a good, with you.
You thought it was a good question, too. You thought it was a good question.
I have the best question, and we're not going to waste it. We're not wasting the best question. We might give another one away tomorrow. All right? We might get another one away tomorrow. Let's take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we'll be back with more, including a little football.
The number one store for exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, and vitamins is Complete Nutrition. And this week, the first Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of the month, get 22% off everything for our preferred member days. That's 22% off all exclusive weight loss, sports nutrition, vitamins, and herbs. At Complete Nutrition, our focus is asking you the right questions to get you the right products you need to reach your goals. And when it comes to helping you lose weight, increase energy, burn fat, or build muscle mass, nobody gets you results like Complete Nutrition, period. So get in this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for our preferred member days and save 22% off everything only at Complete Nutrition.
Find Complete Nutrition just north of Sunmart on 2nd Avenue in Kearney or call 338-1-FIT.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. All your important files, let's face it, they're on your office computer. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or a flash drive, email files to yourself. What a hassle. My recommendation, use GoToMyPC.com to remotely access your office, Mac, or PC from any other computer. Simply go and log on to GoToMyPC.com, and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. Use any program. It works on any file. Check email. Access your network resources. GoToMyPC, brought to you by Citrix, lets you take your office with you wherever you go, and it's really easy to set up and use. GoToMyPC is great. I want you to try it free today. I've got a special 45-day free trial just for my listeners. This is only available if you use the promo code Colin. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Colin. Take your office everywhere you go. It's GoToMyPC.com.
Want to save big dough, big bucks, big cashola? Who doesn't? Then get into Kearney Yamaha now for huge savings. The folks at Kearney Yamaha are offering blowout prices on motorcycles to clear the way for the 2011 models. That means you can save over $2,500 on select new Yamaha Star motorcycles. So what are you waiting for? Get into Kearney Yamaha today. Save huge cashola and ride home on a new Yamaha Star motorcycle. Great rebates and get financing as low as 3.99%. Hurry in. This deal won't last long. Only at Kearney Yamaha. Yamaha, Nebraska's Power Sports Mall, just south of I-80. Finance offer subject to credit approval applies to purchases of new Yamaha motorcycles made on a Yamaha installment financing loan account from 9-1-10 to 12-28-10. Minimum contract length, 24 months. Maximum length, 36 months. Minimum amount finance, $5,000. Fixed APR of 3.99%, 5.99%, 6.99%, or 12.99% will be assigned based on credit approval criteria. See dealer for details.
Swimming around underwater, one thing fish find irresistible is live bait. Problem is, their appetite gets them into trouble. On the other hand, fishermen have no trouble buying any kind of bait at the boathouse, many of which aren't stocked by anyone else, including chicken parts and guts, shad, gizzards, crawdads, shrimp, leeches, minnows, and of course, worms. See the boathouse, a mile north of Grand Island on 281, for repair and used boat sales, too. Log on to theboathousegi.com.
When you save 10% on the stuff that you bought, that's at Builders.
Hi, this is Scott from Builders, here to announce our all-new Senior Citizens Day every Tuesday at Builders in Kearney. If you're 65 or over, you qualify for a 10% discount on any in-stock items at Builders. That's every Tuesday, where seniors save 10% at Builders in Kearney. See store for details.
Builders does it best.
Yo, mic check, mic check.
Moscow. You know there's another Moscow?
Really?
Well, I don't know.
They drink vodka there.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Don't forget to get signed up for our ESPN Radio four-person scramble Saturday, September 18th at Indian Head. You can go to ESPNSuperstation.com for the details. It's a great tournament, folks, because 40% of the purse goes back to in cash prizes. Top three teams in three flights. If you're on one of the winning teams, you can make $150 a man. That's pretty good net right there, folks. Plus, you're helping out the Make-A-Wish Foundation of Nebraska.
That's pretty good right there.
That's right, and you can do what you want. So win or lose, you're going to be thought of as a winner because you're helping Make-A-Wish. You're playing golf at Indian Head Golf Course in Grand Island. 8:30 a.m. shotgun start. Yeah, it's a little early, but we want to get you done for the Husker game. Saturday, September 18th. You can even watch it at Indian Head if you want. There's a $10,000 hole-in-one. Someone will putt for $10,000. One person in this tournament will have one putt for $10,000. You've seen it on SportsCenter. You've seen that it can be done. They'll pick the spot at metal at Indian Head, and they will give you that chance for $10,000. Might be a double breaker. I mean, the last time I saw a guy win a putting contest, you know, he was 4'6", and I didn't have any idea that he even knew how to putt. And he jarred it.
Horn
knocked it home. So anybody could make a putt. You get this shot for $10,000. That's worth the entry fee right there. The four-person scramble, ESPN Radio, coming up Saturday, September 18th, Indian Head, Grand Island. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com for more information. And to get registered, call Indian Head, a golf course. Daddy, speaking of golf, your thoughts, I'm shocked that Corey Pavin picked Ricky Fowler, but there's always should be some kind of shock in this Ryder Cup. Zach Johnson, Tiger Woods, Stuart Sink, Ricky Fowler. They take the top eight. Anthony Kim was ninth, but he's been injured. So they didn't pick. Lucas Glover, though, 10th. I'm surprised that Lucas Glover was not one of the selections.
You know, Ricky Fowler, Andy North saying this morning that, hey, they're looking for some young guy that could energize this team, much like an Anthony Kim did before. That could be that guy. That's why he liked to pick. So
I think that's why Lucas didn't get picked. He's just steady as you go.
Right.
Steady as you go. Some of the other guys in the top 20 that weren't picked, besides Kim and Glover, Bo Van Pelt, Ben Crane, Ricky Barnes, Nick Watney, Sean O'Hare, J.B. Holmes. Apparently Holmes was really under consideration. I don't like the Sean O'Hare. He's a winner, but also not a very emotional guy. Also, I think, Ricky Fowler won in the Walker Cup over at Wales. I think that had a lot to do with it, too.
Hey, that's where they're going back to. Well, we'll see how it pans out. Tiger kind of played his way in, though, don't you think? I mean, it removed all doubt the way he's been playing about the last few
weeks. You've got to have Tiger Woods on the team, even if you only play him once. Again, I think you send him out that first Thursday morning, see how he's playing. Maybe you just need him for a guy that's been there as much or more than any of the other guys for support as a team leader. And then put him in the single Sunday, or he plays every single match, just depending. Be interesting who you're going to put him with. You put him with Stuart Sink, and is that why he made the team? Sink's a good putter.
Big underdogs, though, aren't they? Big underdogs.
Well, how much are you going to play a guy like Jeff Overton? I mean, Fowler's never won, but at least, you know, he's been there. Jeff Overton? Of course, I think he could be emotional as well. It'll be interesting to see what you do with Overton, Kuchar, Fowler,
Kuchar playing
Bubba Watson.
Really. Kuchar playing some good golf.
He's
great
playing
golf.
Some great golf. So there you go. Let's see. High school volleyball going on tonight. Albie and Minden. Minden and Kearney Catholic are ranked. Gibbons off to a great start. And I got to go see this Donovan Trumbull team. Again, you know what? We talked about a couple of those football teams. One, Donovan Trumbull hasn't been a great volleyball team for a long time, and they're off to a great start. They're actually ranked in the Omaha World Herald. Shelton and them came in to the rankings today. I got to get a chance to see these girls. They're off to a good start. So Minden, Kearney Catholic, and Gibbon, those games from Minden at 5 o'clock on Classic Hits 98.9 on the Breeze 94.5 tonight. Battle of Hastings, Adams Central will play at St. Cecilia, getting underway at approximately 7 o'clock. Daddy, anything else from the weekend that sticks out? Hastings College Volleyball 2-2, UNK outstanding. We'll talk with Coach Rick Squires on tomorrow's Loper Link. And that's all coming up on tomorrow's show. Jerry Wachowiak and Kolasvec earn conference honors this week as well.
You know, other than the list of football games, and you can run down and talk about so many of them, I think the biggest disappointments had to be Kansas and Oklahoma getting off the way they did in the Big 12.
Ugh.
Poor Turner. Poor Turner.
Oklahoma, yeah, which one do you – Oklahoma, wow, and 6-3.
Yeah.
Of course, your quarterback throws that pick when you're right – 6-3. Good Lord. And since we last spoke, Houston has cut kicker Chris Brown, the former Husker, the last original member of the Houston Texans.
You know, it's interesting, although you lose your job to Neil Rackers, who's been pretty successful. So, you know, he missed some kicks towards the end of last year, and I think that kind of stuck in their craw.
Patrick Creighton to the Chargers, a Cowboy being traded last weekend?
You know, that surprised me because all we got was a late-round consideration, didn't we? I mean, it was a late-round draft. I mean, it wasn't like we got a whole lot, I didn't think, in return. But nonetheless, that's been done. Must feel we got somebody better back there if you're a Cowboy fan.
Well, evidently it's Dez time. If you haven't drafted yet, maybe you got to get Dez. I don't know if he's going to be as good as Miles or better than Miles, but I think maybe Dez is going to go.
We know he's better than Roy Williams already.
Yeah, I think so. Well, thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show today, Tuesday press conference day, hearing from Bo Pelini and Sean Watson. Also, our weekly catch-up with UNK and Hastings College football coaches Daryl Morris and Paul Merkowitz. Later this week, Thursday, Idaho quarterback Nate Enderle out of North Platte is going to join us on the Doug and Daddy Show on Thursday. Joe DeMaio there for the first day of the NFL season. Also, tomorrow, we will be on the road at the Motor Inn in Shelton for our second Big Red Lunch. Steve Sippel from the Lincoln Journal-Star will join us. Our weekly chat with Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep, and Loper Volleyball coach Rick Squires.
Give a quick shout-out, Joe DeMaio. Thursday, you got a question, shoot us an email, give us a call. We'll pass it along, get you an answer. See you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1460, 1550.
Stadler Implement in Minden carries a full line of Kubota tractors and mowers. Over the years, Kubota has been committed to providing durable and reliable machinery to farmers, construction workers, and everyday people. From B-Series tractors to premium lawn tractors, Stadler carries them. Providing quality doesn't have to be expensive, thanks to Kubota and Stadler Implement. Located on East Highway 6 in Minden. Go see Carl and the gang. You'll be satisfied with the service you get.
Hanging with us is like spending an afternoon at the pool with your buddies, only without the water and women in bathing suits.
KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney.
ESPN Superstation Sports Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Mike Will, the Sports Center update on ESPN. After his 49-10 victory over Western Kentucky last Saturday, the Nebraska football team returned to the practice field on Monday in preparation for Saturday's game against the Idaho Vandals. Inclement weather during the afternoon forced the Huskers to practice inside the Hawks Championship Center as the team went for a little over 2 hours in helmets and shoulder pads. Head coach Bo Pelini said his players responded well after their first game of the season. With one victory under their belt, the Huskers can now turn their attention toward the Idaho Vandals, who defeated North Dakota 45-0 in their season opener. The Vandals finished the 2009 season with an 8-5 record and a 43-42 victory over Bowling Green in the Humanitarian Bowl. They are led by